get it to subside. Good to be part of the church family, isn't it? I came down here because I'm going to interact with you a little bit today, and just, you know, like I said, the annual meeting's a little bit different. But I want you to go ahead and open your Bibles to Ephesians. What I do is I work through the Word of God and in the message that that we talk about the church and what the church's purpose is and that kind of thing. We kind of do our annual meeting in the midst of it, kind of interact it, you know, that kind of thing. Because what we are trying to do as a body of Christ, what we're trying to do as God's church, comes out of His Word. And then when you give it a report on it, on how we've been doing, we want to connect it to the biblical truth from it all. So if you've opened your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 16 in a light way. We're not going to dig into expositionally, here's what this is and that kind of thing, but we're going to pick some big themes out of there and just look at our lives. And what I want you to do, because I'm going to be talking about this and we're doing the annual meeting, there's a couple of things I want you to just put in your heart and mind as we do this. This applies to your marriage, what we're going to talk about today. The relational aspect of God and what He's doing in our lives applies to your marriage, how we're working this out, how God is growing us, how God is working in our lives. It applies in your family. Being a godly family, trying to live the way that God wants you to live, these kind of things, this is how God works out in our life. It applies in the church family, in the body of Christ. So we have our Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to grab your outline. You need an outline today, because I got a lot of things written on there that it's good for you to have and to look at as we kind of flow through this. If you need one, Mark's back there. He's already up and at it, grabbing some bulletins. So if you need one, if you wave your hand, or Mark Gina needs one up here, and there's a few others, and he'll get you one. So you're going to need your outline today, because right there on the front, there's some important things as we're going to begin as we talk about our annual meeting. I put right there on the front part of our outline today, Article 3 from the Constitution of Living Word Fellowship. That's our statement of faith, Constitution, what we're about, the doctrines, how we look at that. That was put together 33, 34 years ago. In Article 3... is our statement to the main purpose and basic function of this church. That's what it is. This is the biblical truth from God's Word on what the main purpose of the church is to be. Now, they do a lot of different things, and I'm not here to say some of the things that you do. There's a lot of things that go on in the body of Christ in the church. But biblically, from God's Word, this is the main purpose of the church. Each church family, this is God's purpose for them, why God has His church here. Same for everyone. And that's what this is saying. This is what we're going to evaluate today. Have we been living the main purpose that God calls the body of Christ, the church family, to live? We're going to look back and look at how we've been doing and look at what God is doing in our life. Have we as a church family sought to live God's purpose of the church? First section, look at it with me. The chief objective of Living Word Fellowship will be to glorify God. In recognition of this purpose, we will endeavor to conduct our lives and services in a worshipful way. So the main objective in all of our lives is to glorify God in our worship of Him. You saw that it's here. Worship is to ascribe toward God in all that we do, say, and live, all honor and adoration or love for God. That's why we're here. We're to worship God. It gives Him glory, but to worship Him is in our lives and everything that we do, say, and live to ascribe to Him all honor and adoration that's due Him. That's what worship is. Secondly, look at section 2. A consequent purpose of Living Word Fellowship will be to edify one another, that is, to build up one another toward Christ-like maturity. That's going to be a consequent purpose of this. It would be simply said this way, in our worship of God, we are to concern ourselves with the growth, with the building up of one another in Christ-likeness to God's glory. We're to concern ourselves with that. Sometimes you say mature the saints. For us to grow in our relationship with God, grow in our faith, grow in our understanding of God. Maturity, that's what it is. Section 3, look at it with me. As well as edification, a parallel purpose of Living Word Fellowship would be to involve ourselves in worldwide evangelism. This may be accomplished by declaring God's good news about Christ to those who live near us, and by making available time, talent, and treasure for the ministry across the world. We will endeavor by God's power to manifest changed lives in all of our relationships and to show Christ's compassion wherever people are needy and suffering. So simply, I could say it this way. So in our worship of God, in that we're giving all honor and adoration to God, all love to God in what we do, say, and live, we seek to use our time, talents, and treasures to grow or mature the believers in Christ, to evangelize the lost as a way of life. That's the purpose of the church. We live in the church age, this dispensation where Christ has come and then he's lived a sinless life, died on the cross, gave his life for us who would believe in him, raised to new life so we would have the new life that we have in Christ. And God is building his church. That's what we live in, and there's a purpose for it. We defined it. It's true, it's biblical, it's what God ask us to live for his glory. In our annual meeting, we evaluate how we're doing. That's pretty simple what this is about. It's what we have been, is this what we've been living for, and this is this what we have been promoting? So let's jump right here in the start on your outlines. First, let's talk about finances. Yay, right? That's great in the church message, in the church time, to talk about the business side of it, but you know what? The truth of it is, it's all part of worship, isn't it? Look in your outline there. Let me tell you, giving to God for the work of the ministry is part of our worship. That's why we have offering boxes in the back. It's between you and God and your worship of God. It's just in your relationship with God that God has worked in your heart. You give to the work of the ministry. What that is between you and God, and that's what it's to be, to financially support all that we do to build up God's people and support our efforts to evangelize our community and to provide resources to the missionaries that we're involved in is an act of worship by us. It's part of our worship, just like prayer is, just like singing songs, just like reading God's word, just about it's worship unto the Lord. It's giving him all honor and all adoration directed toward him, and we do that with what we have. You can see it there, just some basic financial report for us, what our current assets are. This is at beginning of January 1st, 2018. That's, you could simply say that's what's in the bank. What last year's budget expenses were, that's what we budgeted for expenses for Living Word Fellowship for last year. What the actual expenses turned out to be at the end of the year, that's what we actually spent as a body of Christ, as a church. And then you can see the total giving from 2017, it's right there. And then you can look at what is budgeted expenses for 2018. In an effort to be transparent about all of that, as we can, each month there's a detailed financial report that's made available. For anyone that wants one, it gives a breakdown of where everything's went, you know, paid this, paid that, where everything was. This was the electric bill, this was the office expense to buy paper. It's broken down month to month so everybody can see if you want it. I mean, that's up to you. They're back there most of the time. Sometimes we forget to put them out, but if anybody wants one, you can have one. And on the back table back there, right there on the back table, is a detailed breakdown of the 2018 budget expenses. We want to be as transparent as we can as using God's resources that are given to him in acts of worship for his glory. And that's what we want to do. And a representative of the leadership here, of the elders, we would like to thank the finance ministry for all their efforts that they do to provide this information and their diligence to oversee the finance ministry. I think a good round of applause for them is important because a lot of work, paying attention to everything, putting all that together, overseeing, you know, they get all those budget calls, we need to do this, that. We're very thankful for all that they do. And let me share with you just a couple of items about finance. They're not in your outline there, but middle of last year, right around June, the elders had decided, God had led us to bring Josh Day, the gentleman that leads our praise and worship time, onto a part-time staff here. It's going to continue this year. His focus is to grow our worship and praise ministry, to promote involvement, to encourage others to be along, to be a part of that, to seek if that's what something God would want you to do, to involve others in it. He's going to spend time in training and encouraging and all of that. And then he serves the church in many, many, many different ways in family events where there's a time of worship and praise needed. He's there presenting that. And so the elders saw that it was an investment into the worship ministry and that we were going to bring Josh on as part-time. We're excited about that and what's been going on the first 6 months already. Also, this year coming up in the budget back there in this year, as a body of Christ, as a church family, we're beginning in May, let me get the right things then, and it will be going on for at least 2 years. We as a church are supporting Samantha Mock. Where, Samantha, where'd you run off to? There she is. She's over there. We're excited about that. We're supporting her as a missionary with Africa Inland Missions. Let me give you a little details on as the elders prayed and we talked with the finance committee and that kind of thing. As a church, as this church family, Living Word Fellowship, we are supporting her with roughly 25% of her initial cost to go. The initial cost is $18,000, so that this church, the family, is providing for roughly 25% of that. And then beginning in May, for the next 2 years, roughly 25% of her monthly support is going to come from this body of Christ, this church, and that monthly support is $2,600, something like that, right, Sam? Okay. We're privileged and excited to participate in sending of Sam. She shared with us. She's going to share in February with us again. Many of you individually support her on your own. That's a great, wonderful thing to be a part of, just a great work of God to be involved in. Those are some of the specifics about our finances. A couple other things I want to say about it. In representing the elders and the finance ministry together, let me just say we just tremendous grateful hearts to God for your generous giving to the work of the ministry. So just a heart of gratitude from the leadership, thankfulness, thankful to God for your relationship of worship with God in the area of giving and supporting his church. It's just a blessing to be part of a church family that understands all of that and from their heart in an act of worship give to God's work. This is a great thing. If anybody has any questions about finances, see an elder, ask the question, see someone on the finance ministry, ask the question. We want to do as best we can. We'll get you the answer that you're looking for if you have any questions about our finance. Yay, that's done. Now, as we continue to look at how we've been living God's purpose for us, turn your outlines over. Some brief things I want to talk about just out of God's word on the purpose of the church. We put what we stated in our constitution, but out of God's word, let me just pull these things out that are here. The Apostle Paul talks about the life of the church in verses 1 through 16. He gives four simple principles we're going to look at today. Our group effort, our gifting, our goals, and our growth. Like I said, we won't look at the detail of all of this. Well, just the idea. And I want our hearts and minds to be thinking about how we've been living this out this last year as God's church. That's what we're going to be doing. So let's look at this right away. First of all, the life of the church, it's a group effort. You guys understand that, right? It's a group effort. Just like a body is, right? It's a group effort. If the leg doesn't want to go that way, the other leg is like, what are you doing? You know, I mean, it's kind of like that. And that's what's in God's word here and what he teaches about us. It's a group effort of us to live what God wants us to live as his church. Like, remember, you're the church. We are the church. Paul begins in chapter 4, verse 1. Look at what he says. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. First, I want you to see the therefore is therefore for a reason. What he has taught in the first three chapters is the truth of salvation, the same thing we've been going through in Romans. All the truths of salvation that are been taught. He says, because of that, therefore, because of what God has done in our salvation, what I taught previously, he implores us as a group effort. The word implore you is a plural. He implores all of us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been called. What he's saying, to live in a manner worthy of our salvation. That's what we're trying to do together. That's our group effort. We're trying to live in a manner worthy of our salvation. It's a group effort. God designed it that way. And then if you look at verse 2 and 3, look what he says here. He says this, with all humility, gentleness, and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Simply, that says, the unity that we have is the salvation that we have. We gave that to us in Christ. We have a oneness because we're saved. We're God's children. We're born again. We have new life in Christ. We have a unity in all that. And in that unity, we're trying to walk or live in a worthy way of our salvation. And it's very relational. Look at verse 2 again. It's very relational. You know that, right? It's tremendously relational. It's not an individual thing in a way. It's a relational aspect of our group effort. We walk in humility with one another, in gentleness, in patience, showing tolerance and love. We're all in this journey of a group effort to live salvation. And it comes through how we relate. Look at Ephesians 4:31. He's not done here. It just 1 through 16. He teaches this all the way through chapter 5. But look at 4:31. He says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Be imitators of God and his beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you." All those in the plural, us. It's a very relational aspect of it. The Christian life is. That's the way it is. Now apply this to your family or your marriage. Isn't it the same thing in your marriage? Right, you guys? It is, right? You're trying to live out the salvation in a manner worthy of the salvation you received. You know God has made you one. In your marriage, you've been made one. But in your Christianity, that's more one than your marriage. Way more one. It'll go on for eternity. Your marriage is over when you're not here anymore. So the oneness of our unity of what we have in Christ is incredible. And that you have that in Christ. And so how this works out in relational aspect, think about it. Works the same way in your marriage. You walk in humility, you walk in gentleness, patience, showing tolerance, journeying together, trying to encourage each other, to build each other up, to worship God, to mature each other. And then if you have a family, you're trying to live that way to evangelize your children so they know the Lord. Same way in your family. This is how this is. It's the same way here, you guys. Exactly the same. Different dynamic because we don't have to live with each other, let's be nice, 16 hours a day. Right? But we interact the same way. Together, you're trying to live in a manner that reflects the worthiness of salvation. Humble in effort, patient, putting away sinning against each other, forgiving, kind, walking in love like Christ loved you. God designed it that way to be a group effort. Yes, we have our individual relationship with Christ, and we have that one with the Lord, and we're working on that. But God has put you in a place, in a church family, in a marriage, or whatever he has in your life, because the design is that it works together. Some of the greatest things that God wanted to teach me, my wife taught me. God using her to teach me. Some of the greatest support, some of the greatest encouragement, some greatest helps in some of the most difficult struggles I have, God has used my wife to do that. Who can attest to that? Husbands, come on, raise your hand. Wives, we're just a problem. You don't need to ask you the question, right? But how about your family? Has your family taught you anything? Your children taught you anything? Same thing here, you guys. I want us to capture that. Think about how we've been doing that in our life. So it's a group effort. And then there's our gifting. Back to Ephesians 4. Look at verse 7 with me. Then Paul says this, and like I said, I'm not digging into everything here, but verse 7, he says this, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Hey, see, we've been gifted to do this. By grace, Christ has gifted each of us to make this work. 1 Peter 4 says, "Some gifted to teach or disciple, encourage, others gifted to serve, meeting needs by the power of God." Turn your Bibles to Romans 12. Let me just show you this briefly. Paul says this in a lot of places, but I want you to capture, by divine power, by divine purpose, by divine decision, you've been gifted by the Spirit of God in your humanity, in your createdness, in who you are by God. He gifted you. He gifted you to be a part of what makes this work, what grows it, what makes it honor God. He's gifted each one of us. Romans 12, verse 4 and following, look at this. Paul's talking about the same thing. "For just as we have many members in one body," you remember the whole illustration there? Got many members. You got an arm, hand, wrist, leg, knee, all those. "And all the members do not have the same function. My elbow doesn't work as a knee. My hand isn't working as my foot. Sometimes my mouth needs to listen better," I would agree. But right? We don't have the same function in the body of Christ. Do you have the same function in your family? You guys all do the same thing? You guys are boring as a family if you guys all do the same thing. Do you have the same function in a marriage? Absolutely not, right? You God who created it all different, gifted you. Now look at verse 5. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members one to another. So we're connected. We're all gifted. We all have different things, but we're connected. It works together. Verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, Ephesians 4, 7, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Do you see what he said? God's gifted us so we can use them accordingly. God gifted you to exercise your gift, me to exercise our gift, to the building up of the church family and the mature Christ-likeness, salvation. It's called worship of God. It's our worship. It all works together. Back to Ephesians. Look at Ephesians 4:11. So let's just kind of continue on talking about the purpose of the church, how this works, as we look back in our hearts and mind, how this has been going in our lives. Back to Ephesians 4, look at verse 11. Here the Apostle Paul continues talking about the gifting. He says this, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. That's Jesus. Jesus gave some leadership to the church, to the church of God, to the family of God. He gifted some to lead, to teach, to oversee, to shepherd, framework. Take your family or your marriage as an illustration. He's gifted, he set out, function, right, form, leadership in your family, right? He did it in the church, he does it in our home, that's how it is. That's what God has designed it to be. God gifted mom and dad to provide leadership, to provide an example, to teach, to instruct, to kill kids. Dad does the leading, mom compliments, completes him, kids learn. Is that the way it goes, you guys? It's the way it goes, right? It happens that way, similar here. Kids are gifted to do certain things. I wrote this down. I want to encourage you with this. One may do the yard work better than the other one. One may take care of the animals better than the other one. One may help with the meals better than the other one. Identify the gifts and then let them go. Don't make the one that does meals better tend to the animals. That might get scary. Don't let the one that does the yard work better do the food. Okay, identify their gifts, let them work in their gifts, that kind of thing. You see that just in the dynamic of life. But it's a group effort with giftedness. So we worship God, mature the family of God, and evangelize those that need Christ. You do that in your marriage, you do that in your home. Same thing in your marriage. Growth is always needed, learning, changing, but you've been gifted in your marriage. You two are about to get married. God gifted you to do certain things. God gifted you to help him do them correctly. That's about how it goes, right? No, I mean, right? I mean, I'm kind of kidding there, but right? You know, but then you're gifted to, right? You learn those things that God in his divine order has done, and they're not all the same, right? Your marriage isn't like Krista and I's marriage. Won't be. It might be similar in some ways, but different. But see, it's recognizing. Well, look at the church. Look around. These are all gifted to do all these different kind of things. We need to encourage each other. Recognize it. Serve, usher. Thank you, Bob, for the coffee. You're kind of gifted in that, I would say. I got to pick on Bob. He's a good friend of mine. But see, that's what I want us to catch. So how have we been doing? That's what we're looking at. That's what we're thinking about. God has gifted us to bring about his purpose for us. He would. Worship, build us up, reach out to the lost. Called sanctification, salvation. God uses each one of us to help sanctification happen, for us to mature, to grow. He uses each one of us to be a light in some way to those that would need Christ. So the life of the church is a group effort, it has gifting, and now let's look at the goal. Just moving along here. I promise I won't go much longer. But look at the goal. So he puts right in here in a goal, verse 12 through 14. Look at it. Look what the goal is. He puts this, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature man, to the measure and stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. You see what it says? We all do the work of service, so we build each other up, we mature each other, and then it doesn't really have an end here until we all attain the unity of faith. That's always a work because other people come in, somebody comes to the Lord, God brings some new people here. We're always working, right? Never stops. We only attain that in heaven, the perfection of that. But does it ever stop in your family? It never stops in my marriage. I'm always working on to attain the unity of faith of our lives growing together for us to mature in our relationship with God so we experience the fullness of Christ in our life and in our marriage and in our family. We're always working on it. I don't arrive. I didn't make it. I'm better than I was. Hopefully she'll attest to than I was years ago. She will. But you could say the same thing too, right? Right, Christy and Scott, right? God has worked, right? The fullness of Christ, maturity, the unity of faith. That's different than it was 5 years ago, isn't it? God moving us along. And there's a reason he has it in here, verse 14. As a result, if we're embracing all of that, we're doing that. As a result, we will no longer be children. That's an important thing. Childlike, immature, childish behavior. Being tossed here and there by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. Basically, that's saying by the false way of the world and its enticement. We won't be thrown around by it. It's important stuff. That's the goal. Listen, God has gifted me to equip you. I will do some of the work of the ministry, but that's what it says. He's given leadership to equip, to provide you with the truth, the principles, the purpose, and to live in as an example, to give you the tools needed for you to do the work of the ministry. That's what it says, to do the work of service. We're going to do it together, different gifts to do it, but God gifted you to do it. That's what it says. He's gifted us to do this together, to build up the body of Christ, to mature the believers, to evangelize the lost. It's all in worship of God to glorify Him. A couple other things in that. It's the same way in your family, isn't it? That's what you and a husband and wife are trying to do with your children, right? You're trying to live in a way that God has gifted you to be leadership, to teach them how to walk with the Lord, to teach them with how to understand God, His word, His truth, to love the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to start using their gifts to work in the work of the ministry in whatever it is, in whatever capacity it is. It might be missions. It might be in a part of a body. God's the one in charge. Same way in your marriage. I gave you the examples of that. God is at work in all of us. And it's exciting, it's real life, and has real meaning to life. It truly does. What we're going to do now, we're going to watch a slideshow, about a 15-minute slideshow. Pastor Tom's going to come up and talk to us about it. That puts our efforts towards all of that I've talked about on display. Go ahead, Tom.
About 8 years ago, hang on the music here just a minute. Not quite ready to go yet. Okay, thank you. When I asked Pastor Ken after we moved here a couple of years, I said, now what is the purpose of this annual meeting? And he said, well, to look back at the past year and to see if we are fulfilling our purpose. And the little phrase look back just kind of caught my attention because the couple of meetings I'd been at, we were talking back. You know, we were reflecting back and talking about the past year. And so, you know, since photography is one of my hobbies and everything, I thought, well, maybe we could look back. And so I suggested maybe putting together some pictures of the past year. And so that's what I started doing. And I just kind of want to say a disclaimer as we start here. I can't be in every place at the same time. I didn't get all the pictures that you all took of every event. But as we look back at just at the past year, it'll be a reminder to us, number one, that the church is people. We meet in a building. We've done some refurbishing this past year that we're thankful for that was needed to be done after these years. But it's just a reminder that the church is people. And I've said before, you know, we're not a mega church, but there are a lot of things that are going on here, a lot of ministries that are taking place. So for those of you who are newer here, this will give you kind of a picture of some of those things. Some ministries are not represented. Every ministry is not represented perfectly. The Lord, of course, knows all that. But it's just a way to look back and give thanks. So give me just a minute here, and we'll have the music, and we'll have some pictures together, hopefully.
I know Pastor Tom likes it, just really enjoys doing all that, but it's a lot of work that we're really thankful that you, you're diligent to do that. Thank you for all that. Okay, so it's 4 minutes before lunchtime. So let me close this up quickly. Look at what Paul, the Apostle Paul, says at the end in verse 15 and 16. In here, he talks about, so we've looked at our group effort, we've looked at our gifting, our goals, and then he talks about growth. It's really two ways that we grow. And listen to him, he says this, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causing the growth of the body for the building itself in love." Now, God grows us in our relationship with him in many ways, but he's talking about the church family and how it grows and the dynamic of what God does. And the two ways he looks at, verse 16 says this, "From whom," that's Jesus Christ, "the whole body," that's us, that's the church, "being fitted and held together," God's at work in it through Christ, fitting us and holding us together by what every joint supplies. That's the work that you do. That's your part. The joints. By what we supply. It says this, "from Christ, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies us, according to the proper working of each individual part." That's us. That's you doing what you do, me doing what I do. That's us doing what we do. Look what it says. "Causes the growth of the body for the building itself up in love." God causes the growth. We participate in what God wants us to do by doing what God has asked us to do. And God causes the growth. Building itself up in love applies to your marriage, applies to your family, applies to the church family. You do what you're supposed to do in your marriage. You just keep doing it, being faithful to that. God is the one that causes the growth. He does. It's what he does. Same thing with your kids and your family. When you just live it, just live it, just live it. What God wants you to do, to be what God wants you to be. And what it is, same in here. God causes the growth. We live a certain way. The light of the gospel goes forth to the people around us. People need Christ. They need to see the truth of Jesus Christ. He's in our life by the way we live, because people need to be saved. They need to be reconciled back to God, because we're sinners and needs of salvation. Everybody is. We know that. We're living it. That we grow that way, the growth. Second way, verse 15, look at it with me. "Speaking the truth in love, we grow up in all aspects into him." Here's some of the hard things sometimes. Speaking the truth in love in the original language is this, not just words, but living example. It's holding out the truth in love. Helps us grow to be Christ-like. Grows us up. We know that in our home, when we are raising children, we have to say some things. We have to teach, instruct, so they learn, understand. We have to discipline, maybe spank. Yes, spank. Okay, yeah. Not maybe, huh? But it's holding out the truth in love. It truly is. Love is important here, but truth is also so important. We teach God's word, consider others, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. It's good. God desires these things in our life. It pleases him when we live for him. It reflects God's love for us and our love for him, even when it's hard. That's what holding out the truth in love is. Sometimes we have to come alongside each other and say, you know, I recognize this or that going on, or you know, certain kind of things. I wrote some things down, but I want to get into them, that we just are real with each other. We are real people. I'm not doing great all the time. I have so many men in my life that come along and encourage me, help me, see things in my life. Come and say, you know, this is how God showed me, this is how he worked this out in my life, this is how he grew me in this area, that kind of thing. And the truth is, I see that God wants to grow, you can. It's okay, because it's a group effort with gifting, and it's a goal, and it's God. It's called worship. It's okay, because we're for each other, we love each other, he's given us to each other. Now, always in love. And remember, patient, humble, gentle. It's a journey. That's why he put tolerate one another. Parents, how long have you been tolerating your kids to get this? Sometimes it's the same way with us. So, my take on this, wants us, each one of us, to look at our lives. Have we been living in a way that fulfills the purposes that God has for this body of Christ? We all fall short, but God is at work in our lives. You decide your take, here's mine. We are like every other godly family. We are in the process of what God is purposing in our lives. That's who we are. God is at work in our lives. We all need to grow. But that never changes. We all are growing. I'm a privilege to be a part of this church family. How about you? Amen. Let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you with gratefulness and thankfulness for this annual meeting, for when we looked at all of those videos, that's our desire in all of that, Lord, plus so much more that we do. So many things go on in all of that, so many relational aspects, and all of that goes on within all that was presented in our short little slideshow presentation. But our desire, Lord, what we seek after is to worship you, to grow our faith, to mature us and each other, and for the truth of Christ to be presented to anyone that you'll allow us to present it to. And we're so thankful that that's what you're doing in our lives, that we are your church and we seek your purpose. We thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for the transforming work of the truth of your word. We do come before you and ask us to, you to teach us, to lead us, to walk in a manner worthy of our salvation that you gave us by grace. We'd ask that you'd make our time together today and each day that lies ahead of us a time that we can draw closer to you and to each other. Thank you for all the resources that you provide for the life that we have and the ministry that you've called us to be a part of. Thank you for the food that you've provided today. May our marriages reflect your grace. May our families reflect your goodness. And may our church family reflect your salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.